I jumped the gun. We've got to start again. The tape wasn't working. We're on Gemara Sanhedrin 17a, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom. We're on the next part of the Mishnah that's discussing that a lower court consists of 23 judges. The Mishnah already explained how we come up with that 23. It says the word Ada, which means at least 10 people. It says it twice by a lower court. That's 20. Then it mentioned the fact there was another plurality. That means there's two more. And, well, we'll see the lumdus that they use. The Gemara will explain it. Maybe we should go it over to make it easier. Let's just go, and let's see if this goes really well. Okay, this is going back to Beis Amud Aleph. So we might as well do this because we forgot it from a few months ago. So we have 20. 20 is from Ada and Ada. We're back in the Mishnah. We may nine love you. So where do you get the other three from to get to 23? When it says it says by judgments, it says you shouldn't go after the majority to do bad, in order to make somebody guilty. Alright? It means to convict. So if it says you can't go after the majority to convict, what does that imply? You can go after majority to acquit. Right? So I already infer that I should follow the majority to benefit to acquit. Im Kain, if that's the case, why does it say Achrei Rabim Lahatos? Why does it say you should go after the majority? This it says, right? Because it says it twice. It says going to go after the majority. So this cannot mean that we have to follow the majority to acquit, since already implied in the earlier part of the verse. It says it two times over there. So it's an extra pasuk. Rather, this latter part of the verse must indeed refer to following the majority to convict, and it teaches Lo kato yoscha l'tova t'yoscha l'ra. You're tilting in favor of the majority to acquit. Not like to acquit, do you convict? What does that mean? To acquit, you only need one. To convict, you need two. So the Torah says you need a majority of two to convict. That's what the Torah is saying by the extra clause. If you already know, it says it twice, you don't go after you go after the majority. One time means to acquit. Second time, for what? To make you guilty? Already know that from acquitting. The answer is, when you go after the majority to make guilty, it has to be different. You have to have at least two, a majority of two. But what would that mean? How many judges then? 22. But you can't have an even court. So it comes out to 23. That's how we learned in the Mishnah. You have to have 23. Look over here. The verse is thus interpreted as follows. Do not follow a simple majority to convict, but according to the majority of two votes shall be decided. Thus, at least 22 judges are indicated. There must be the possibility that 10 vote for acquittal, and that those who vote for conviction enjoy a two-vote majority. That's how you get 12. Okay, and one more has to be an odd number, so it came to 23. Okay, now the Gemara is going to analyze and ask a very simple question on that. Okay, Gemara now, and Yud Zayin Amud Aleph assumes you know all this. So therefore, it comes out later. So let's get it clear. The Torah says you go after a majority to convict, but not like a majority to acquit. And there's got to be a majority. Now the Mishnah said majority of two. Okay? So I'm going to ask you, what kind of majority do you need to convict when you have a quarter of 23? What's got to be? The smallest majority is going to be a majority of two to convict. Right? Okay, how are you going to get that number two? Tell me the numbers. You have 23, give me the number. Play out the number. How many acquit, how many guilty? Tell me a number.
Well, 10 is only 22.
So it's not two.
You can't get two.
Oh, but the Mishnah said two.
But you can't get two.
But the Mishnah said two. So that's the question. No, it didn't say at least two. It said two. It said not like your acquittal is your conviction.
Three is two.
But the Mishnah said two. That's what Gemara's going to ask. How do you get two? Well, we will see. It's possible. All right? Gemara asks, self. One second. Self, l'ral, pishnayim, lo mishkachas. At the end of the day, you're never going to get a conviction by two. The Mishnah said you're going to get a conviction by two, and they play it out. Because if 11 say innocent, 12 guilty, well then, it's only one. So what are you going to say? You need 10 to acquit. Shoshan Rechayim and Turtim guilty. To also have it. It's three. Now here's the interesting part of the question. Look at the note. The Pasuk itself says, remember, how do we learn the Pasuk? You go after majority to convict, meaning not like a majority of acquittal, but a majority of conviction. That means, so from the Pasuk alone, I could have said what? You need how much? Three. But that's not what the Mishnah said. The verse does not specify the margin of votes required for conviction. It says only that the margin of votes required for conviction is not the same as that required for an acquittal. One. In which you can't get a conviction with a majority of one. That's what the Pasuk is implying clearly. Thus, as far as the scriptural derivation is concerned, the majority conviction for a conviction could be either two or three. Two or three, whatever it be, but three. It was the Tan of our Mishnah who asserted the requisite number is two. So Gemara just asked him, I don't get it. You'll never get two. You just should have said three. Because two is never even a possibility. So why did the Mishnah say to us saying you could do two? Two will never work out. So we have an answer. Amar Rabbo says, "I atamotze, you'll never find a majority of two unless ela b'mosifim, if we have to add judges to a lesser Sanhedrin." Now here's a piece of information we have not yet learned yet. We won't learn until Daf Mem. So this is where the footnote will help us out. Later on, we'll learn a Mishnah. Don't ask me a million proofs and this and that. Wait till we get to the Mishnah. Just accept it as a fact right now. That if a judge is unsure how to vote, he says, I don't know, I abstain. Then two judges are added to the Sanhedrin. I know you're going to ask, why not one? We'll see when we get over there. Two. That's the rule. Just accept it for now. In such a case, the total number of voting judges is 24. Right? You had 23, but one guy ain't voting. You get 24. Such a court can convict with a majority of 2 by 13 to 11. Now, I know you're going to ask, wait a minute, but you can't have an even court. All right, so those are issues you've got to deal with. But on the other hand, it's not an odd court because there's the other guy there. Anyway, that's for Daf Mem. We'll leave all the questions for there. We just want to know how to get a majority of 2. So the rule is that when one guy says, I'm not voting over here, then we add 2. So once you add 2, it's possible to have 24, 13 to 11, and that's how you win. And it is possible majority of 2, and that's all. And all the other questions we have that are interesting, well, we'll see, a little bit will be mentioned here, but the bulk is over there.
So if you guys are not voting, then you have to add 4.
That could be. We'll leave it all for over there. Let's just finish one more point. V'divrei hakol. And this explanation is according to all opinions, even according to the Tanakhama and Rehuda. Remember we had the machlokas earlier, a Sanhedrin, a Godel. How much was it? 70 or 71? Remember that machlokas? This is a reference to the dispute between the sage and Rehuda regarding the number of the judges in the great Sanhedrin. The dispute concerns only the great Sanhedrin, 70 or 71. They agree that the number of judges in a lesser Sanhedrin is 23. Okay? So, in other words, so this will fit, according to everybody, this statement that you need to have 23. Okay, with this explanation, okay, that fits nicely. Now, what's your question?
It just seems strange that they would specifically say 2 when it only applies to an exception.
Well, but that, you have to say there is the possibility.
Right, so when you deal with
But once you have more than 2, you can have more than 2.
When you deal with the exception, they should say, and if it's in this case...
Well, they assume you're going to learn the Mishnah on Daf Mem. Remember, when they're giving you an opinion, they assume you know everything. You're asking the question because you don't know Daf Mem. They're saying, listen, you got to know all of the Mishnahs. So if you know all of the Mishnahs, you'll know Daf Mem, you add... Because to us, ooh, look, we just discovered America. There's a whole Daf Mem over there. So we say, no, if you know Daf Mem, it becomes obvious. So we have to give you what is the theoretical smallest majority that is required to convict. And that is 2. You do have 2. You could have more. That's fine. But you can't have 1. What?
It's not an issue.
We just want to know why the rabbi and the Mishnah said 2 is the smallest majority. So we answered that. Okay. Now, so both the Tanakhama, the Chacham, and Rehuda agree when it comes to a small Sanhedrin, it comes out to 23. But here's going to be the problem now. Ube Sanhedrin Gedola, But you're going to find, additionally, you'll find in a Sanhedrin Gedola, you're going to also find, you're going to need a majority of two also, won't you, to convict? Yes, you're going to need a majority to convict as well. But now let's figure this out. According to the Chachamim, how much in Sanhedrin? 71. According to the beauty of 70. Remember? So now how are we going to get that? And we want to convict somebody in Sanhedrin Gadol. Now who are you going to convict? What case goes to Sanhedrin Gadol? Remember? Case of a Nasi, a case of a Kohen Gadol, that we have to do a capital offense, right? So you're going to need, or Irani Dachas, right? It was Irani Dachas, we said 71, right? So now how do you get a majority of two to convict? Well, let's see. Sanhedrin Gadol, Ve'liba Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Shivim. And we'll also give the explanation according to Rabbi Yehuda when a Sanhedrin is composed, according to him who says it's 70. Since the court is composed of an even number of judges, it can convict with a majority of two by voting 36 to 34. Right? So that works out really good. But according to the sages, hold that the greatest Sanhedrin is composed of 71, it's an odd number court in which a margin of two cannot occur. But you're going to have to say the same thing. You're going to say, if we speak case where one of the Sanhedrin doesn't know how to rule, you'd add two. Okay? So that's what, so the case of 23, we figured out, everybody agrees, there's no machlokas, it's 23, a smaller court. So that's how we get to a majority. When you have a majority of two to convict. Sanhedrin Gedola, well, it works good according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's real easy, 70 is simple, 36 to 34. Obviously, Sanhedrin does not fall into this exception of having to be an odd number. How they deal an odd number is an interesting question. But the Omar Rabbi Abbo, and Rabbi Abbo will also say that sometimes you got it, you can also add it for other, so we get other things as well. All right? So now, since he mentioned this, Gemara is going to teach us other teachings of Rabbi Abbo. The Omar Rabbi Abbo, the Mosifin, where we add judges, osim bezdin shokol lechatchila. It seems, Shelley, where we add judges, we've gone initially to make an even number of judges, right? Since the judge is unsure, doesn't vote, the other two come out to 24. So he's just making a statement of fact. So Gemara says, well, yeah, well, Shita, well, obviously, why do you have to tell us this? Once you told me there's, you add two and one isn't judging, so we added two judges. So what are you telling me? Oh, we're making it initially an even amount. So he's saying like this. This is what I would have thought. Mao the same. He's coming to come out that we shouldn't make the following error. Hi the comer any odea. So when a guy says, I don't know, I'm going to rule, how would we consider him? Do we consider him keman de isha dami? Is he still considered to be a member of a court? In other words, he says, I don't know what the ruling's going to be. But do we still consider him part of the court? I would have thought maybe he's still part of the court. And what does that mean, he's still part of the court? The E. Amr Milser's ruling. And if he has something to say, we'd listen to them. So in effect, we have 25. That, in other words, when we say, guy says, I don't know what I'm going to rule on. I'm not going to rule on this one. So does that mean we say, well, okay, but you can still sit in the court. And if you have, you know, your 2 cents worth, you can still say your 2 cents worth. Even though you're not going to vote. Now, so you're adding two, so it'll be 25 people sitting in the room with 24 people voting. We might have thought that. Now, when he says it's an even amount, Kamash Malon, the Chiddush is, the even number teaches us, the high, the comer, any ode. When he says, I don't know, Kaman, the lesser dummy. He's like he's not there, and we're not going to Ivi Omar Taima. And if he wants to say something of logic, Lo Shamin and Lay, we're not going to listen to him. Okay, that is, when the expanded court reconsiders the case. In other words, what happened? Let's say, how do we come to this? I mean, how do we know the guy's not going to vote? It's when he says, I'm not voting. So now let's think what happens over here. So you have 23 judges here. So we start counting. Okay, we're up to 11 and 11. Okay, Chaim Yankel, Reb Chaim Yankel. How do you vote? I don't know how to vote. Oh, now we got a problem. Okay, we're going to have to add two more. So now, once we do that, we're going to have to rediscuss the case with two more judges to review the case a little bit. So now the guy says, but I'd like to stay to put my 2 cents in. No, that's the point. Once you say you're not voting, you're out. Now, of course, they could keep adding on. I think if you recall, until we're going to get to a majority there. But anyway, that's all for Daf Mem. That's all for Daf Mem. What do you do if they still draw? That's all for Daf Mem. We'll see. So that's the Chiddush he's saying, that it is going to be an even number, meaning to say that the guy who doesn't know can't even put his 2 cents in.
I'm going to ask, if you did have the situation they just described, we had 11-11, and then number 23 says, I don't know. Why don't you just acquit the guy? Because if he says guilty, you still acquit him anyways.
If he says guilty? No. Well.
Because you only have one, you can't convict.
All right,
so,
I hear.
So if he says, I don't know, if he is really the last guy to vote.
That's a good question.
Book doesn't really
matter. I think you have to make it. You have to make, but then, but you're not voting. You don't. We are saying either for sure he's innocent or for sure he's guilty. I don't know. You have to. We'll have to see. What do you do when it's 12-11? Convict? Is it just so simple? We just leave it like that and we don't convict? Maybe we got to add more judges.
We all voted 12-11. We acquit him.
So you know. Let's leave it for later. I understand what you're asking, but we can't have an even number of judges voting. You know what? We'll have to see. No, if he doesn't know, no. See, 12-11 says we've gone through all the judges. It's not enough to make him guilty. But if one guy says, I don't know, you know, there's not enough, you know, there's not enough to make a decision. You can't make a decision with an even number. An even number is an invalid decision. It's invalid. I understand what you're saying. Well, you want to make the guy for sure innocent. All right, let's leave that for Daf Mem. Okay, that's what I said. Let's leave this for Daf Mem. I'm sure this is going to all be discussed in Daf Mem. Okay, so. So okay, so you have to stay. See, now I got a reason. You got a reason to stay. All right. Okay, that's good questions. Okay, we'll get to Daf Mem. I'm Rav Kahana. Comes on, now that we've mentioned Rav Kahana twice, we're just going to do all his statements now. Now, you're certainly not going to like this one. Sanhedri Sharoi Kumchai. Let's say all 70 say guilty. But it's got to be all. Yeah. All. Pochinoso. He's let off the hook. You go off the hook. My timer. What's the reason? Kiva the Gemir. Since we have another law, there's another law on the books that whenever there's a vote to convict, let's say it'd be 38 to 33, that he's guilty, that means he's getting the death penalty. You don't need a majority to kill a guy. But there's a rule. Once you do that, you require something else. Let's say the case brought in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. It takes an hour to present the evidence. 10 o'clock. They go and sit into the deliberations. They discuss it for 3 hours. 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, they come out, guilty. 37 to 34. Now, what do you do next? You do not take him out and kill him. You must sleep on the decision. That's a rule. You must sleep on a decision because overnight, maybe the judges will come back and say, no, they thought about it. I'm retracting my votes. You have to have that. So, since we know, Tehalonas din lemebed leishchus, so we have to delay the court proceedings in order to give them a chance to acquit him. We give him overnight. Also, daf mem, Shelley, okay? So, since you have to give him a night to sleep it over, but let's put it this way. That makes sense. If it's 37-34, the guys on the 37 side will say, you know, let me rethink the 34 guys. Maybe the 34 guys are right. However, but in the case where everybody says guilty, sulo chazale, no one's going to consider any acquittal. So the guy is not given the benefit of people sleeping on it. So it's not considered a proper judgment, and we have to let him off the hook. I know that's very difficult logically to understand. He's off the hook. He's acquitted. Now, there's a Musardika reason, but the Chavetz Chaim says, the Chavetz Chaim, my Rebbe said this. So that's what Gemara says. You know what I mean? Due process means, first, he's judged by the Sanhedrin, or the court of 23. Then, they have to sleep on it, and then the next day they do it. But if there's nothing to sleep on, there's no due process. So you're going to say, wait a minute, this is crazy. That's what they said. Now,
but if there's one dissenting vote, then
they sleep on it. Then they sleep on it, and he'll be convicted.
think of what reasons he gave. No one's giving any reasons.
But if everybody... Okay, now... my Rebbe once set a pshat based on the Chavetz Chaim. There's another halacha that's similar to this, not in this area, but a similar concept. Where is that? Let's see if I have my memory. Somewhere in the Torah. Similar concept, where all, although you think it's worse, is better. Tzaras. When a client checks a guy with tzaras, there's a little bit of tzaras, he's a mitzor. He comes back a week later, same amount, he's a mitzor. But if he comes back a week later and then he's completely full of tzaras, completely, tar. He's pure. Same type of thing here. So the Chavetz Chaim says the following pshat. He says, you know, when you have a little bit of, remember, the reason you have tzaras is because of Lashon Hara, right? Sometimes you have a little blotch of tzaras, like right over here. It's like that, you know, it's a little bit. You know what? Just put my shirt over it. I'm not going to see it. Everything's fine, right? Christ says, well, let me take a look. No, you're a mitzara. That's all day, a little bit. You're a mitzara. Okay, you say I'm a mitzara. Okay, I listen to you. Now, what's he supposed to do now the next week? In the week he's put into seclusion, right? What's he supposed to do during that week? Sure. If you just sit there for a week, nothing's going to change. He's got a tshuva. He says, you know, I must have spoken Lashon Hara. Let me go back. Let me think. Last 6 months. Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, I'm going to stop. I'm never going to do it again. Okay. So that would be good. But if it's just one spot, the guy says, well, maybe I speak a little bit less, but not that much. So it's just one spot. And he may not do tshuva. Kohen comes back a week later. I still see a little spot. That means you haven't done tshuva yet. And the guy could think, well, I really didn't think I was that bad. Well, you stay another week. Another week? Okay, another week. So again, he's, okay, let me have two tshuva. He says, well, yeah, okay, let me a little tshuva, this and that. Okay, comes back a week later, still a little spot. Kohen comes again, and the guy, listen, man, it's still just a little spot. Sorry, he didn't do complete tshuva. He's still there. Okay. Then what happens the next week? The guy comes again, whatever. Then he's, next week, all of a sudden, his whole body's covered with tzaras. The guy can't fool himself and think, I'm really not that bad in Lashon Hara. Your whole body's full of tzaras, man. You know? So, you know, at that point, the person is confronted with the clear reality that you're a terrible guy. It's not just something you can just kind of cover it over just a little bit. It's your whole body, your whole essence. It's like, as they would say, hitting rock bottom. You know, when does the alcoholic finally go do real change? Is when he's gone to rock bottom, his whole life fell apart. When your whole body's full of tzaras, you can no longer fool yourself, and therefore you're going to have to do tshuva. So that's why, and therefore we assume you will do tshuva, because you really know how terrible you are. And that's the halacha. So my Rebbe said like this, you can agree with it or not. So he said, this was like I heard maybe 40 years ago this. I don't know why I remember that one. He said, so the same thing here. When a court convicts a guy, so it's 37 to 34. Okay, you know, tomorrow you're going to be put to death. Now, obviously you want the guy to do tshuva. But he's going to say, listen, there were 34 guys who thought I was innocent. So he's not going to do such a big tshuva. He'll do tshuva, but 34 guys thought I was innocent. So, and then, therefore, he'll need the death to finish off the kapara, because his tshuva isn't going to be enough. But when he hears the verdict is 71 to nothing, he isn't fooling himself anymore. He does not fool himself to think, oh, maybe I'm not, I'm totally guilty. And he does mamish complete tshuva. And when he does complete tshuva, there's no need to kill him anymore. That's what my Rebbe said. Okay? Well, let's put it makes as much sense as the tzaras idea. Anyway, so that's the halacha. So you're going to say, you know, comes out a real terrible killer can get off. Again, let's not forget, guys, that we don't convict him this way. If we really think he's a terrible guy, there's other ways to take care of him. And certainly if a guy is a mass murderer, you know, we put him in the cage and don't feed him, remember? There is, we don't give him the Torah-designed death penalty. Then we slip into the rabbi's discretionary mode of how to remove the guy without implementing the Torah death penalty, but we find another way to do it. That's all. That's the only difference.
That's, at the end of the day, that's murder.
Who's murder?
If you don't, if you kill the guy,
killing him by the basis of psak din with a sword and decapitation, that's the full gamut of kapara.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying, if we kill the guy in another means,
well, the Bezin is given that right. No, it is. The Torah says you do what you have to do. You do what you have to do. Hashem says, I gave you a whole Torah. Hashem says, listen to what the rabbis tell you. That means that God gave Beis Din discretionary powers not written within the Torah for people who are taking advantage of the Torah. Again, you have to go back to some premises. The problem is we live in a goyish world, so we look at this idea with a goyish cup because that's the way the goyish world is. I'm not blaming anybody. Remember, when the Torah says we kill people, we're not interested in killing people. That's never been on the agenda. It says so many times, you kill him. We're not intending to kill anybody. We just want the little children when they're 4 and 5 and 6 and 10 and 12 and 15 every year, hear the parsha, you know, when you kill someone, it's a really terrible thing. You should get your head decapitated for that. You're so afraid of that, you'll never do it. Finished. That's the main part of what the all jurisprudence is about. And every judge is supposed to go into every school and teach them these things. And remember, when you grow up, it's not a good thing to do. And that's it. Now, should it be? Okay. Now, we try our best. Remember, the system is rigged to get them off the hook. We have to be absolutely positive, this and that, all these things. So why is that so? Because the main thing is that we don't want them to do it to begin with. But once we have to judge him, you know. So now it's pretty hard to judge him on a halachic way, in biblical terms. But then God tells the rabbis, in any aspect of Torah, forget about murder. If you see that any part of the Torah is being weakened, that people are finding ways to cut corners, you have the power to strengthen that. So, for example, where do the rabbis have the power to make these decrees on Shabbos? Right? Why do the rabbis say you can't insulate something? I mean, Torah doesn't say anything wrong with that. That's not one of the 39 prohibited activities. Right? Yeah, but if you're going to insulate in an incorrect way, the person's going to start to make a fire. So the rabbis were given the power to do a lot of things to make sure we won't desecrate the sanctity of any part of Torah. So God said it should be enough if I give you these commandments to not kill, and the punishment for this is this, and your job is to teach it to people. People are not going to kill. That's the real goal of Judaism. The goal is not, 27 murders, and we did a good job. We convicted all 27. See, in the goyish world, success is the district attorney convicted. How do you become the governor? You become the governor by being the good district attorney. Listen, we convicted, and that's why they'll a lot of times convict people who are totally innocent. You know, a guy, you know, in drugs. Well, it's a famous thing. You know, they have to convict people with drugs. They're going to catch, you know, these ladies who happen to be in the house when the drug bust happens, who may know anything, they convict them too. It's another number. Ooh, I convicted 873 people in my tenure during my 4 years. See, I'm a law and order candidate. You know, if you're a law and order candidate, you would have convicted nobody. Mean to say, and nobody would have done the crime. Law and order really means nobody does the crimes. Again, this is what you see with you see this in Germany. You see this week. What's the attitude the people have to terrorism? What's their attitude? And we catch them. We catch them. We punish them. You see how foolish they sound when the president gets up? You know, we'll go after them. We'll catch them. He won't rest for a minute till we get him. You idiot. You already lost. The fact the guy goes into a Christmas market and kills people, you've already lost, even if you catch him. Because that's not the point. The point isn't to catch him. The point is it doesn't happen. Judaism understood this 3,000 years ago. Says we'll give you so many reasons to say to kill. It shouldn't be, and we got to learn and teach and inculcate these values so it never happens. Okay, but should we fail miserably and one guy kills? You know, okay, now that's a whole different aspect. It's not we trying to kill him because that is the that will keep people away from not wanting the deterrent. Judaism says not look as punishments as deterrents. It says the punishment, so we should appreciate how terrible it is, so we'd never want to do such a thing. But now, God said, but if you see people are taking advantage of this system, now we give you discretionary powers to do what you have to do to make sure this is not, he doesn't abuse the system. And if that means you kill him without the Torah methodology, so be it. Just like you say, we're not blowing shofar this Rosh Hashanah. Remember, when Rosh Hashanah was one day on Shabbos, we're not hearing a shofar this year. Goodbye.
So would we apply the same logic to the get, the guy who doesn't give the get?
That's why we can beat him up. He still has to give the get. He still has to give the get. But we can beat him up till he... And guess what? If he doesn't say Roitza Ani, I'll do it, he'll kill him. Keep beating him. Say it. No. Keep beating him. He's dead. You murdered him. He didn't want to say yes. What do you want? So it's all what to enforce the Torah. You know, they don't do this, just flippantly, right? Flippantly. But yeah, obviously, couldn't a terrible guy take advantage of this system? Okay, I guess we didn't get to the surprise, but it was good anyway. The surprise was going to be right on the top of the next page. We end the parak. When I was preparing, yes, I said, "Oh, we finished the parak." But okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue.